Good evening. I want to thank Tony for the opportunity to fill in on a Sunday night when Dwayne was out of town. From time to time when he's out on a Sunday, of course, we have fill-in speakers, and Tony got with me and asked if I'd be willing to do it, and here I am. We've been talking about this for a while, so just bear with me. Topic we're going to talk about tonight is there's nothing new under the sun. That's a statement that Solomon made in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And this is something I've thought about for a long time and going to give you a little insight into kind of how my mind works, which is a scary thing sometimes. But when my family and I first started attending here back in 2003, I worked for a different company. Worked for OEM, which we built machinery to go industrial type of machinery, and I traveled extensively, and I spent a lot of time in Chicago, and then got to know the city pretty well, and one of the things at night we'd like to do is go downtown Chicago to Michigan Avenue on the Magnificent Mile and go and see some of the stores and a lot of things that you don't see in Birmingham, but you see in a lot of the big cities. And one of my favorite stores there was a toy store. It's called FOA Schwartz. If you've ever been to New York or San Francisco, Chicago, you may have seen those. Real neat toy store. Well, across the street in the Water Tower Mall, they had a spinoff store called FOA Sweets, which was a large candy store. And went into the candy store, and in there on the back wall, they had from floor to ceiling bins of M&Ms, and just bin after bin, floor to ceiling, every color that you could think of, M&Ms. It's like walking into a paint store and seeing all the different paint chips. You could get M&Ms any color that you wanted. Of course, you get a bag, you scoop them in, mix them up, and buy it by the pound, which is the most expensive way to buy M&Ms. But anyway, I thought that was neat, that you could go in and buy pink M&Ms, purple M&Ms, and any color that you wanted. But then I started thinking about it. I said, okay, if I were to put a blindfold on and take one M&M at a time and put it in my mouth, would I be able to tell what color it was? And you can't, because you can't taste color. And they all taste the same, no matter what color they are. So then I got to thinking, well, what is an M&M exactly? And it is a candy-coated piece of chocolate. And a fun fact about M&Ms, they were developed back in 1941 for the military, so that the soldiers, when they're out in the battlefield, could take chocolate in the field with them, and they wouldn't melt like the chocolate bars would, because that was a problem they had, it was messy. So they developed M&Ms for the military and soldiers so they could eat chocolate out in the battlefield. So that was got me thinking again about what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, that there's nothing new under the sun. And that got me thinking, we'll read that scripture. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 says, what has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. And we all know that there's new things around today that weren't around when Solomon was around, vehicles, things of that nature. But that's not really what he was talking about. What he was talking about is, as far as God is concerned, there's nothing new out there. As far as God's law, it is the same today and as it was yesterday when Solomon was alive. And that got me thinking, well, what about sin? Are there any new sins out there? And the answer is no. There's no new sins, because we worship a unchanging God, and he has set the path that we're to follow, and he has told us what is good and what is evil, and there's no sins out there. And we can have comfort in that. In Hebrews 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So we should be able to take comfort in the fact that we have a God that is unchanging. He has set a plan in place for us and a path that we can live with him forever after this life. So there are no new sins. But I remembered from growing up in the church, and you hear sermons and stuff, that there were different types of sins. And in John, 1 John 2:16 says, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." So I remembered that from when I was a kid, but I could not remember book, chapter, verse. And when I was thinking about this verse, I said, well, I'm going to have to look it up and research, because I can't remember where it is. I just know it's in there somewhere, right? And I'm getting older and I forget about stuff. So I'm going to take this opportunity to plug our midweek bulletin that the church staff does such a good job on putting together every week, because I'd been thinking about this, and this is the July 15th issue back in the summer. I'd been thinking about this. I said, okay, I got to find this verse. So I get home one day from work, go to the mailbox, bulletin's in there, go in the kitchen. I'm standing there, and I'm looking through it there at the island in our kitchen. And then I'm looking at David Duranda's article on temptation, and lo and behold, there's the verse that I've been thinking about. So I didn't have to look it up, because David did it for me and put it. David put it in the midweek bulletin, which that's why I'm plugging it, is don't just put it aside and not look at it. There's a lot of good stuff in there, nice articles, things telling us what's going on in the church, baptisms, and, of course, on the back, people who need our prayers. So I'm plugging the midweek bulletin that comes in our mailbox every week for us. So there are three types of sin: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. There's several areas in the New Testament that kind of list sins for us and stuff, and I just picked one out. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21 say, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." So all sins fall in one of these three categories. And we can also, we're not going to read it, but you can look in Luke 4, verses 1 through 13, which is the story that's described to us of Jesus being tempted by the devil in the desert. And Jesus was tempted by the devil in all three ways. The first, of course, he was in the desert for 40 days fasting and praying. And, of course, he was hungry at the end of 40 days. So the devil took advantage of that and tried to ask him to turn stones into bread so he could have something to eat. And so he tempted him with lust of the flesh. Secondly, he took him high on a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and told him that you could have all this and rule all over that. And, of course, he turned him down on that. And that was lust of the eyes. And then, of course, the last one, taking him to the top of the temple to throw him down, said, "If you are the Son of God, then cast yourself down and angels will keep you from getting hurt." And Jesus, of course, resisted him in all three areas there. So Jesus was tempted in all three ways, just as we are today. And that is not the only time the devil tempted Jesus, because in verse 13, it does come back and say at the end that the devil departed from him for a season. So we do know that the devil did tempt him again at later times. So we can take comfort there to know that, one, God has set a plan in place for us. He has given us a path for eternal life with him in heaven. And he's given us, tells us what's right and what's wrong. He encourages us and warns us about different type of things to look for. So let's look at the flip side of this. Of course, anytime you're putting a presentation together, you got to have 3 points. If you have 3 points on one side, you got to have 3 points on the other side. So I had to come up with 3 points of my own about the devil. Now, God has set his path for us, and it's unchanging, so we know that. Well, the devil's not bound by same rules. He doesn't go by rules. He uses whatever is available to him, and that's what he's going to do to try to entrap us. If we look at 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it tells us to be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So that's the devil's job. He's out there trying to trip us up, trying to entrap us, trying to cause us to sin. So I came up with the 3 things that the devil uses. So he uses more than these, but these are the 3 I'm going to talk about tonight. So the first one is the devil is the master of marketing, okay? In today's society, we are bombarded with ads everywhere you turn around, whether you're listening to radio, you're driving down the road and see billboards, you're watching TV, you're on the internet, looking at magazines. It doesn't matter. Advertising is everywhere. And there's nothing wrong with advertising. My son is majoring in marketing, so there's nothing wrong with that. And the majority of the products that people are trying to sell us are fine, but there's other products that are out there that are being marketed to us that are not that great for us. And you have to look at advertising and a lot of those type products. The devil is portraying those as fun, as cool, as being sophisticated and things like that to try to entice us into doing something that's wrong. So the other thing when during advertising, they don't show the flip side. They don't show the dark side of what happens, because a lot of products that are advertised, they're not showing the broken families that are caused by addiction. And I'm just talking about all kinds of addiction, whether it's gambling, alcohol, drugs, food addictions, shopping addictions, all those kind of things that can cause problems in a family and cause divorce, things of that nature. They don't show that side of it. They also don't show the side of things like car wrecks that happen from drunk drivers and things like that. It's almost every year around graduation you hear a story about, you know, some teenagers out the week or the night before graduation, and there's a car wreck and one of them gets killed or several of them get killed. I mean, it's almost every year you hear about that. And when they're advertising alcohol on TV and stuff, they don't show the car wrecks with the dead teenagers. They show everybody having a good time, everybody having fun, and things like that. They also, you have to think as far as marketing, that you're being targeted by marketers. And it's obvious today on the internet when if you're looking for a camera, looking for a TV, and you do a search for that product, all of a sudden these little pop-up ads for cameras start popping up on the website, and you see that. Because they know, they're watching you, and they know what you're looking at, and then they start targeting you. Well, this has been going on for a long time. Like I said, the company that I used to work for, when we first started going to church here, we made machinery, and a lot of the customers that we had were large commercial printers, the people who print magazines, all the junk mail in your Sunday paper when you open up and all that stuff that falls out the middle. We built the machinery that conveyed, stacked, palletized, all that stuff. But one of the other things that we did for magazines was the target marketing. So when you go into the grocery store and see the magazines on the shelf, those are what they call newsstand magazines. But then they have another magazine for subscribers. So the subscription people, they've already bought the data for each of us, and they know your income level, they know your interest, and they know all this information about you, and they build that subscription magazine for you. And most people don't know this, but let's say David Brown and I are both sports fans, which we are, And let's say David makes a lot more money than I do, but we both subscribe to Sports Illustrated. Well, when he gets his Sports Illustrated in his mailbox, he looks at page 36, he may have an ad for a Cadillac. And then I get my Sports Illustrated at home, and I may have an ad for a Chevrolet. But it's because they know the information about us, and they build that magazine for you. Okay, and we built systems to help track all that. So don't think that when you grab a magazine and start looking at it that comes in your mailbox, that they didn't think about you when they put that magazine together, because they did. The second thing is the devil is the master of manipulation. We can be manipulated by lots of different things. Our peer groups, whether you're teenagers and you have a group of friends and they're trying to get you things to do things that you're not supposed to, they can manipulate you in ways to do things that you normally wouldn't do. We're manipulated by society. The big thing today is the gay thing. We're bombarded with, okay, you need to accept the fact gay marriage is going to happen. You need to accept it. It's normal. There's nothing wrong with it. Society is pushing us to accept things that the Bible is very specific about, that it is wrong. So we're being manipulated there. And we can be manipulated by our family members. If we're maybe a member of the church, and they're not, they may try to persuade you, not to go to church or deny Christ or things like that. So the devil uses those type tools to manipulate you on a very personal level. And then the last one I picked was the devil's master of distraction. And this is something that I have to struggle with, because we're so tied in and we're so connected today with our phones, with our computers, with the internet, with our tablets. We're constantly getting text messages, emails, voicemails that you have to respond to. We're distracted all the time. And sometimes it's overwhelming, and you just feel like, I just need to unplug for a little while. Well, we do. We do need to unplug and meditate and think on the things that God has put out for us to think on. So we can be distracted. And it's hard for me, because technology is the business that I'm in, so I have to stay on top of it. I have to learn it and spend time and show customers how to use it. So, you have to stay on top of it, because it, for me, is my job. But there's a lot of times I just like to turn everything off and just, have a quiet time. Do you think how much time each day you spend staring at a screen? It doesn't matter what kind of screen it is, your phone, your tablet, the computer, or television, and just add those hours up. I heard a couple weeks ago that some college had done a study about how many times you look at your phone in a day, and on average, it was broken up by age group, but from the teenagers to like 35, was the highest, and it was averaged 137 times a day that you would look at your phone. That's a big distraction. So we need to be thankful for what we have and not let all these distractions take over. Well, what can we do to battle the devil and the tools that he's using? Like I said, he's taking advantage of technology. He's taking advantage of everything around us to try to trap us and trip us up. So we can go to the Bible and we get some encouragement. We'll look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. When we look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, and be courageous. You can go to 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And then finally, James 5 and verse 8. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. So we have what God has given us in the Bible. It's His plan for us so that we can spend eternity with Him in heaven. Well, we can take comfort in the fact that it's not going to change. We're not going to be judged differently because we live today than Solomon was going to be judged when he lived there in the time that he lived in, because we worship an unchanging God. The Bible gives us warnings, what to look for, what to avoid. The Bible gives us encouragement and tells us, hey, you know, be courageous, stand firm. And that's what we need to do. Okay? Well, that's my talk that I've been planning for a few months now. So, but if you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel and you've been wanting to, everything is ready for you. We have the baptistry ready. There's people here to help you and assist you. Or if you are a member of the church and you feel like you need the prayers of the saints, we're here for you. And if you would, just please come as together we stand and sing. Three, five,